on the third or fourth night, when I opened my eyes, I could see him in front of me just flashing. Oh, wow. And then I screamed. Hi, my name is Ut.
My name is Raihan.
My name is Wayne.
My name is Kyle.
And this is Tales from Incredible Tales. Together with some very special guests, we're taking a look back at Incredible Tales, a horror anthology that aired on Channel 5 from 2004 to 2017. We will also be asking our guests on their scary stories.
Ut, the host of Incredible Tales throughout its 13 years, is with us today. How are you doing today, Ut?
I'm doing really good. I just realized how I'm not alone this time around. I mean, we've been doing episode after episode.
Oh, I know.
You scared us.
Yeah. I should have left like a bigger pause.
Yes.
No. That was just enough to scare us. It's fine.
But yeah, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I have you guys with me.
Yeah. That sounds sweet.
Yeah. Went from frightening to sweet. Yes.
Yeah. I love how we set the vibe here today.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in every episode of Tales of Incredible Tales, we will explore a different theme and how it ties to the classic Incredible Tales episodes.
So following Art's lead, this episode we're looking at benevolent spirits, those souls who are more interested in helping instead of haunting. This episode's theme was inspired by Midnight Clinic from season 2. A young man suffering from the flu stumbles upon a clinic that is still open in the middle of the night. Once inside, he finds that there are things far more unusual about the clinic than its operating hours.
No. So basically, the doctor cures him. Doctor is definitely a spirit, but it's a benevolent one. Yeah. And he helps him. This weird clinic that helps.
He gives him a ghostly prescription. it pretty much is what he does. Yeah. So yeah.
But the clinic appears out of nowhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like when he tried to go back, it's like empty.
Yeah.
It's like for rent.
Yeah.
We didn't show that, but like I like when he entered, there was a nurse that was also a spirit. And she looked super creepy. She had like the like mannequin smile, like.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever had, an experience where you've seen buildings appear out of nowhere, clinics out of a sudden? In places.
I don't think I've had like any personal experience in that respect. Only the experience that I shared with you guys, having rode through
the Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone and then passing through the same exact locations that I felt that I just passed like maybe like 20, 30 seconds ago. That's the closest of to like, having witnessed something that's like completely not there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I've had stories.
Oh, of course you have.
Of course.
I have stories. Okay, let's go.
Okay, so maybe I'll just tell you one story. It happens in Malaysia. Mm. I think it happened to a relative of mine where she was on the way home from somewhere. So, the kampung areas are very, very rural and very quiet. She got very hungry all of a sudden. So she just decided to reach to a nearby eating place. Mm. But while driving, she saw a stall like right in the middle of nowhere being operating. So she's like, hey, this is a good place to stop by and eat lah. Mm. Because I'm hungry. So she stopped. She got down and there was no one at the shop except for this one makcik lah. So she ordered some food. And then when she ordered the food, she sat down, she ate it and it was nice. To her, it was nice. It was like noodles or something like that. And she, after finishing her food, she left. Oh yes. So she wanted to pay. So she asked, what can I pay? How much is it? So she asked, the makcik says, maybe 10 ringgit. So she actually gave the makcik an extra big change. So the makcik had to return her some money. When she got home the next day, she was talking to her relative about this store. It's like, oh, this the nice store selling this nice mee goreng or something like that. Turns out, like someone was saying, there's no stall in the middle of nowhere. And so she was like, no, I ate it last night. I really did. And then I remembered like passing her money and all that. Mm. And then she opened up her wallet and it was leaves.
Oh.
The money, the change that she received were leaves.
Oh my.
So she was like, eh. So she actually went back to actually look whether that place existed. It was not there.
Oh my God.
No stall open.
And was she alone? Or?
She was alone. Oh, she was just hungry.
That's why. Yeah.
But the good thing is, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good spirit.
Yeah.
We just wanted to like, you know, help her. But I don't know what she was fed with. That's the thing.
I'm not sure if it's a benevolent spirit.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. Uh-huh. It could be a cheeky spirit because you're talking about kampong, right? So forest, there could be forest spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Orang Bunyang.
Bunyan, yes.
Yeah, Bunyang, right? So they sometimes play pranks on humans also.
Oh, yeah.
So there's this spirit in particular that is very famous in Taiwan. It's called the Mosina. It's basically a mountain spirit that takes the form of a little girl. And it was caught on videotape by a bunch of tourists. Ooh. Yeah. So there was like a whole bunch of tourists that's walking. Then they're like hiking, right? Then they're happy. Then there's one little girl in a red dress following them.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
It was caught. Yeah. So apparently this spirit will actually entice strangers. La. You walk around, like if you're hiking, then they'll ask you, oh, come help me. It will take a form of a little girl or auntie. So you follow her, then she will be very nice, feed you. Then you eventually go missing. Ooh. Like in the forest, sometimes for weeks. But most of the time, you will come out of this alive. La. So they usually target young children or the elderly. In the mountains, and then you will be fed dirt and worms. So you in your perspective, right, you're eating a nice meal, but in fact you're actually eating worms.
Yeah.
So it's playing pranks on humans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you unfortunately end up dying. So there are cases of that, and they actually adapted it into a series of movies.
Like their intention is not I don't know what
it's not good.
It's definitely not good. It's not evil though, is it? It's not.
But sometimes people die.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is quite interesting because I haven't had like personal experience with what we're discussing, but I agree with Kyle. It's definitely not normal. Because there has to be some sort of means or reasoning behind doing this to, you know, maybe if people died, it adds more energy to, you know, the surroundings, the environment. I have no idea.
Mm.
Yeah. And then they continue to, you know, to prey on the next group of tourists coming in or not.
The good spirits, right? The benevolent spirit. For my culture, we believe in the existence of both.
Yep.
Yeah. We have we call it jinn.
Yep.
The good jinn and the bad jinn. And the good jinn actually lives inside our houses.
Mm.
They kind of like live together with us.
Like a house spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, sometimes I would hear things in the kitchen and my mom was, it's okay. You know them. You know, they're just doing the things. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure whether it's to protect us, but it's just there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's a similar belief in Thailand too. Like most of the houses, they call it like the Sampaphum, which is the shrine. They have like a mini shrine. So you'll notice like if you like go through like neighborhoods that some houses have the mini shrines at the corner of the house.
Yep. Ah, right.
So the mini shrine basically houses the spirit of the house.
Yeah, okay. House spirits. Yeah. Most houses have it. So in Chinese culture, yes, there is also a house spirit.
Mm.
There's actually a rule. Like, you know, like when you're newlywed, you BTO, you buy a new flat, you roll a pineapple, there's a reason for that. And you can take it to like a very simplistic manner. You roll the pineapple to each corner of the house to, you know, for blessing. And then you can, what we'll do is we'll throw rice. That's the only time where it's acceptable to throw rice as an Asian. Throw rice every corner, throw salt. To purify and cleanse the place.
Uh-huh.
And then lastly, you finish off with a prayer in the middle of the house, which is the living room usually. Then you just burn the incense. It's to actually activate the house spirit, to protect the house spirit. Okay. So the house spirit is essentially the first barrier to supernatural things. So they will protect your house against evil spirits. So there's every house has a house spirit, according to Chinese customs, are very similar to the Thais. But one step further is that every Chinese New Year, you are actually supposed to pray to the house spirit.
Oh.
And if you don't, after 3 years, they will go on strike. There's one story that I heard that one guy, he never pray. Then he go on strike. Then the house spirit started allowing all forms of spirits to enter.
Oh, wow.
So the house became super haunted.
So from the good spirit turns out
it's not good. Right. It's not bad. It's just like, oh, you don't believe in me. Then I don't do my job.
Then
maybe just nice that the area is pretty haunted. Then all the evil spirits start entering the house. Or maybe the house is near a, I guess like a portal between the other world, so the spirits can just enter.
Wow.
So there could be a lot of explanation.
I had a situation experience when I first moved to Thailand. And being like a very Western American kid, I still didn't have a lot of experiences with like, you know, the supernatural, paranormal in this part of the world. So one of my first experiences to connect to what Kyle was sharing was that I stayed at a cousin's house. And it's like my cousin's house and my aunt's house, the house is like a wooden house. So it's quite traditional. And I would have this recurring dream, it's like a nightmare. And I couldn't quite grasp what I was dreaming about, but it was like quite, you know, disturbing. And it would be, I would see this old man just pop up in my dream for the first two nights. And to me at the time, he was like dressed in makeup. Like he had a lot of makeup. I couldn't quite grasp what he, you know, who he is, what he is. But I heard music. I would hear music each time I had this dream. So it's like the traditional Thai music that's played when you watch. Now I'm able to connect it now. It's like kind of like the best I can describe it is when you have the Hungry Ghost Festivals and then you have those Chinese theater, you know, that that plays to the gods and whatnot during the festivals. So similar in Thai, you have that as well. So I would hear this music and it gets louder and louder and louder each time I have this dream. And then at the end of it, this uncle, this old man would just, you know, pop up to the point on the third or fourth night when I opened my eyes, I could see him in front of me just flashing.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then I screamed.
Oh, wow.
And then the whole house woke up. But they knew I was dreaming for, I had this nightmare for a few days. So it turns out that the house is on land that used to be like an old kampong. Mm. And they used to play the festivals on those grounds.
Right, okay.
So one is I didn't give my respects to the house, to the house spirits. And then I didn't give my respect to the vicinity of where the house is. So yeah, it's quite important because it's like what Kyle was saying, like every 3 years, they want their presence known. Mm. So if you don't acknowledge them or give respect, then somehow they're going to find a way to make their presence known.
This is interesting because for the Muslim culture is that we believe that if you pray, when you do good in your house, the good spirits or the good jinn will be more pleased to like, you know, have peace at home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you don't, chances are like, you know, that what you say, they may not protect you and other things may come in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's a similarity.
Yeah.
It's all down to respect.
Yeah.
It's like, down you to need right. to respect me, man.
Yeah, exactly. But do you believe that, you know, when people pass away, they come back as spirits to help others? Do you believe in that kind
of theory? I believe that too. I believe like in every, it goes every which way.
Mm.
Yeah. In our everyday life that we go through, there are certain spirits that guide us to the light, to the right way to do things.
Mm.
But it might not be like so clear to us that that's happening.
Once a person passed away, they can actually choose to come back. I mean, I think we mentioned about this in one of the episodes where they can choose to come back as either a vengeful spirit, you know, a good spirit, a nice spirit.
I'm like, smiling because I look at Kyle and I think like, because you're asking, I think for Kyle, he's going to make the choice himself.
I know.
he's going to be like, well, I don't know, but I'm going to make this choice.
Maybe it could be a karmic cycle. Like maybe some spirits, they were not that good of a person. And then this is like their way of atonement or like to reach nirvana or reach, you know, a different level. Mm. They have to do a certain amount of good.
You know, the religion that I was raised in, there's this idea of guardian angels as well.
Mm.
And like, I don't know whether it's actually part of the religion or whether it's kind of been romanticized, but there's this idea that, you know, your loved ones, when they pass on, they come back and they kind of watch over you the whole time.
They go up to heaven, right? And then they become angels.
And well, whether they become angels or not, they choose to come down as like guardians, guardian angels, guardian spirits, and they just kind of watch over you the whole time.
Well, if you watch those NDEs, the near-death experiences, and those accounts, a lot of times they're mentioning people within the family that they see when they somewhat go to the light.
Yeah.
It's either like a grandma or a father or someone that is there to guide them. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're back in their bodies.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, as you guys know, I am now based in LA most of the time now. And I've had this very strong connection to Native American Indians for some reason from my last two trips down, because I feel their story and their history to the US, United States of America is very strong because that it used to be their land.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, I never really, really delved deep into it as a kid. Yeah. And then now that I'm much older, it's like, you know, I feel the presence, I feel the energy. So I remember talking to my cousin about how we should go visit the missions because like the missions were places where assimilate the Native American Indians to change their religion, to, you know, become more modernized. But I wanted to go to learn more about the history. And just deep inside, I wanted to go somewhere. I wanted to pay my respects.
Yeah.
So this is interesting because I went to a Thai temple in Los Angeles just to pray. Mm-hmm. I went to the temple and then they have like, you know, a weekend market and everything. Mm-hmm. Met some friends, but I went upstairs to the temple to do my prayers. And then aunties remember me and they're like, came to take pictures. And there's this one guy who was with them who came to take pictures with them. And then he's like, he calls me Piat. P is like big brother. Mm-hmm. He's like, Piat, he was just introducing himself and he goes, can I give you an amulet? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So he gives me this amulet. I think it was that morning that I was talking to my cousin about the Native American Indians and my thoughts and how I feel this energy. And as he was introducing himself and what he does and everything, I'm looking at the amulet, and on one side is the Buddha, and the other side of it is a Native American Indian.
Huh.
Well.
And I was like, I was completely surprised. So I asked him, I'm like, why is there a Native American Indian that's engraved? I've never seen this in Buddhism. Mm. And he goes, oh, this was made customized at a temple outside. They call it Wat Pa. Wat Pa means like temple outside the city. So this temple is outside the city of Los Angeles. And I've been very instrumental with the abbot, the head monk, to create this amulet because the American Native Indians want their presence to be known because we are going further and further from nature.
Yeah.
Plus, this is their land. So it doesn't matter what religion, it's just that we are listening to them.
Hmm.
So it's just amazing. So I have the amulet with me right now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
And you can, well, this, the one he gave me was a different one. I actually went to the temple. So the abbot actually gave me this one. So on this side is the Native American Indian.
It's cool.
Right.
And then on this other side is actually, I would say it's equivalent of the monkey god.
Right.
But he's the protector of Buddhism.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, you can, guys can take a look. Wow. So we're talking about ancestry.
And yeah.
I love how each episode there's a segue. There's like a story. One of us always has a story to add on to the rest of our stories.
Yeah, yeah.
This happened recently.
This is from this is fresh from.
Oh wow.
Yeah, this is recent.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
This is not revisiting an old reenactment or like old stories. This is happening like right now.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Wow.
It's really beautiful.
It's kind of like, it's like.
Like he kind of knew that there was a reason why he gave it to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question that's pretty going to be quite obvious in terms of the answer. But we know that vengeful spirits, they are there to seek revenge. What about benevolent spirits? You know, I mean, they're looking over us for some reason. Why do you think so?
I think there's so many layers of it because on the previous episode, how like, you know, we're kidding around, Kyle's kidding around. It's like, you know, it goes out. And then it's like, if we're looking for answers to spirits of like our current age and generation, then it's like, you got the 1860s. And I feel like the spirit world is, this, you know, it's so layered. Yeah. It's like you have spirits on top of spirits, on top of like, there are different agendas. Yeah. So like even within those realms, it's probably very, obviously they're not aligned in one timeline.
Yeah.
So that's why I think when we have our experiences, the experiences come like very, they come very strangely for individuals because there's different timelines with in the spirit world. So to add to what you're asking, I think it's if we look at ancestry, like, you know, the land, like the history of the land, I think that's governed by a certain type of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you have all the other things happening on top of that. Mm. Yeah.
And this is going to sound very, you know, aw, but I think love as an emotion is probably as strong, if not stronger, than hate. So if hate can keep a spirit here, love can do something similar. So, I mean, it goes back to this idea of the ancestral spirits watching over the bloodline. You know, you love your family so much, you want to make sure that they're okay. So I think that's, if I don't know how long that love will keep you here, but I think maybe it keeps you here for until you're sure, okay, everything's fine. And then, you know.
So this question is for everyone. If you could do one thing for someone you loved after you have passed, what will it be?
I like how Kyle started to laugh. I don't know where he's going to go with this, but I like how he started to
laugh. Since I laugh, I give it first laugh.
Yes.
I'm going to do the most Singaporean thing ever. Oh, and God. I'm going to let my loved ones kena 4D, basically win the lottery. I'll give a very nice number, then lottery or like Toto, right? You see? Good ancestor. Singaporean also.
I was going to say that I was going to make sure that all my loved ones know that I love them. So now
by giving Toto
Now I look like the stingy guy. I'm like, I don't want to give them any money. So
yes, yeah, you gotta put where your money is.
My entire family's gonna be like, why can't you be more like Kyle now?
Actually, I almost had the same answer as you. Now I had to rethink my answer.
Okay, while you're thinking that,
I would say the same thing as Wayne. I would probably just let my, the one thing would have them know how much, it's to pass the love to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to move on.
Yeah.
Because I feel everyone has their personal journey.
Yes.
So the best you can do is just pass the love that you had for them.
Yeah.
And then let them somehow acknowledge and know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that. Because I mean, we all know, I'm pretty sure all of us had experience of, you know, losing someone you love.
Mm.
And to have someone to come back to us and just say, hey, I'm okay. I just need to move on without me. I think that's the best thing that you could do.
Yeah.
Kind of give yourself a closure or give the spirit a closure.
Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I guess it's the same. You know, just give a closure to the person I love and just move on from there. I think when you stay and then you try to fix things sometimes, it doesn't work out. And then I don't know whether you'll be at peace as a spirit. And then that will make you stay further and you will never move on. So that's what I thought. So moving on. Bye-bye, guys.
Wow. There's a lot of love.
Yeah.
I'm more practical.
Yes.
Yes,
you are. I like your
practical. The housing prices, you want to leave something, you want to leave a legacy. It's like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, here's $1 million. Go buy yourself a Rolex.
Buy yourself a Rolex?
No, it's to my descendants.
Or perhaps, what I'll do is, let's say, for example, you know, there's a house that I like. Or maybe somebody, like maybe my children might like the house and, you know, they can't stay there because the previous owner doesn't want to sell it. I might want the previous owner. Like, get out. I want my child to stay here now.
I can imagine it would be the most polite haunted.
I know. You're going to be like the most friendly spirit energy around. You'd be like, I probably won't move out. I'm like, hey, just hang out. Sorry, dude. I'm not moving out. And you're like, rah. I'll be like, rah.
It's like, the guy sleeping is like, sorry. Boo. Boo.
Speaking of moving on, let's start wrapping things up as always with our morbid factor today. Kyle, take it away.
So you guys know about Sherlock Holmes, right? So the author is named Arthur Conan Doyle.
Uh-huh.
So he likes to communicate with the dead by doing seance.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know how real the seances are back in the day. It's what, 1800s, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, but like there's a lot of so-called psychic back then also. And people are a lot more superstitious back then. But just put it in your mind, lah. Someone who wrote Sherlock Holmes also believed that you can talk to the dead through a medium. So it's quite the imaginative mind also, lah.
Yeah, quite. So it's like a seance is basically you're resurrecting the energies out.
Yeah, yeah, bring up.
Yeah.
What if he got the stories from there?
I was literally about to say, yeah.
Like, maybe tell me a story and he's like,
give me a mystery to solve.
Can you imagine how much layered of a story it would be if it's like, I got Sherlock Holmes stories from someone who passed in the 1400s, but I'm writing it from an 1800s point of view. That's so layered.
Wow.
I think there's a movie right there.
Thank you for joining us today again, Art. It's been a really great one today. And thank you to all of you for tuning in to Tales from Incredible Tales. New episodes go up on every Tuesday and Thursday evening on YouTube and MeWatch and on podcast platforms such as MeListen, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
My name is Art.
My name is Wayne.
My name is Kyle.
My name is Raihan. And we will see you next time. Tales from Incredible Tales was hosted by Raihan Yaakob, Wayne Ray, and Carl Ong with special guest Art. Directed and produced by Carl Ong. Written by Wayne Ray. Assistant Director, Chin Sin Wei. Director of Photography, Shervin Chua. Gaffer, Jonathan Chan. Art Director, Jolin Lim. Sound by Audrey Lee. Hair and Makeup by Bino Lim. Behind the Scenes Footage shot by Bernard Lee. Production Assistant, Jasmine Hain. Studio Support by Citrus. Post-Production by Fudge. Motion Graphics by Jolin Lim. Special thanks to Danny Cordy from MediaCorp. Tales from Incredible Tales is a production of Hantu and MediaCorp. Follow the podcast on the MeListen app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. Thank you for listening.